Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 380, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. By Babel's riverside we sat in tears, remembering Zion's pride in former years, while on the weeping willows there were hung the harps our grief had silenced and unstrung. And what follows, Psalter 380, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 43, the verses 1 through 21. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 43, the first 21 verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou wast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, in the midst of all the trials of life, then yet in this day, then we have been the recipients of many blessings from above, then thy mercies have been multiplied, then thou wast given so many reasons also in this day, that we may give thee thanks. But, oh Lord, thou knowest that true thanksgiving, that it is not to be found in the natural heart, but it is a gift which thy dear Son has merited for his people, and which he grants by the immediate work of the Holy Spirit. May it then please thee in this very hour to grant unto us and our children a broken and a humble heart under the goodness of the Lord. Then thou yet maketh a great difference with many upon the face of the earth. And then we commend unto thee all the hungry ones that had nothing to eat in this day, if it may please thee. Wilt thou open the windows of heaven for them? Remember the suffering, remember the homeless, remember the destitute. Remember the multitudes in the institutions of mercy. Remember those in prison. But, oh Lord, then also the circumstances for us and our children, they are known unto thee. And then we have sung together with the psalmist, oh, a weeping church, when they have remembered the former years of Zion, and now their harps were upon the willows. And may there be such a mourning people amongst us, among our boys and girls, among our youth, among our middle-aged and the elderly ones, when they cannot come up to thy house. Above all, Lord, grant that godly sorrow, and may it become our guilt. And then it is declared in thy holy word that thou art waiting to be gracious for us and our children, that we may be given to repent, that by renewal the congregation may go up to thy house to keep holy day. O Lord, may we be given to turn and unto ourself. Thou art speaking so loudly over the length and the breadth of the earth. Thou wast come with thy judgments. Then surely thou wast something to say unto us. And may it be for us and our children, as it was in the life of that little Samuel, when thou wast spoken that he was given to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Ah, Lord, may it please thee to come down with thy spirit and give us not over to the hardness of the heart, that under thy callings, that we remain not cold, untouched, unmoved, and even the hardness of the heart, but may we be brought on a low and secret place, and given to mightily cry unto thee, that thou may remember us and our children concerning our daily needs. Ah, they are manifold for fathers and mothers, for the provision for their family, and then the fears when we behold what has taken place. But, ah, Lord, thou wast everything in thy hand, and to that end may it please thee to grant more dependent life upon thee for everything, also for our daily bread. Is it not written in thy holy word that the blessing is thine? Then we commend unto thee the farmers who hope to entrust the seed into the earth. Wilt thou grant an eye upon thee with a prayer for a blessing from above, with an impression that it is all undeserved? Then thou must give the sunshine the moisture. Thou must keep from harm and danger. Thou must keep from storms and from hail. But, ah, Lord, then we shall all come through the time, the one a little easier, the other family with more difficulties, and we may thank thee hitherto that thou wast spared us from the virus, but for each and every one of us, then there is that one thing needful, and there is only a step between us and death. We are hastening to eternity, and to that end then we humbly beg of thee, Lord, for a blessing upon thy word. Oh, may it be for the conversion of sinners, for the uncovering of false foundations, but also for the edification, the comfort, the instruction, and the correction of thy Zion. Wilt thou bless the means of grace in the church? Wilt thou bless the means of grace in the family circles, where they spend more time together? Help also fathers and mothers with the education of their children. Wilt thou help the students? Wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding? We commend our school unto thee. For the teachers, it has also become different. Wilt thou be their helper ever near? Then we commend thy church unto thee, over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish nation, mission work, our mission field. Remember the servants and the team. We're also in that country. It has come to a standstill. May they be given to experience, separated from churches and from their family, that thou knowest of them. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Then by renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all our elderly ones. Remember the lonely ones, all under the doctor's care. Remember those that have sick relatives. The circumstances are known unto thee. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? Lord, remember our country that has departed so far from thy word. Thy day is no longer kept by the greater part of the population. Thy seventh commandment trampled upon, and under thy judgments it still continues, and also the unborn continue to be murdered, O Lord. And then we are still continuing on that downward spiral. We commend unto thee our leaders. They also need to be converted. Those amongst them that are still striving to uphold the old ways in the midst of much persecution, wilt thou encourage and wilt thou strengthen them, grant them a special place at thy footstool. And Lord, may we be given to remember, we may see it also on this Sabbath day, that the time has come that the judgments must begin at the house of God. May it please thee under thy solemn speaking that we may be given to repent of our evil and worldly ways, that we may be given to cry unto thee, that we may fear sin more than that we fear sickness, and that we may be taught by thy Holy Spirit that our sin-sick soul, that it needs to be saved through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, whose resurrection we have commemorated on the Lord's Day past, but then on each Lord's Day, then we may remember that the Lord is risen indeed. May the King work mightily in this evening in the hearts of young and old. We humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou strengthen out of Zion and send help from the sanctuary. Remember all the listeners from the youngest to the oldest. Remember our little boys and our little girls, not so easy to understand and even more difficult when they are at home. But, oh Lord, thou only needeth one word. And what our boys and our girls need, that our youth need, the middle-aged, the elderly ones, wilt thou look down upon us in the Son of thine eternal love. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 275, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. And what follows? Psalter 275, the first three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 21, the question and answer number 54. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself, by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church, a chosen to everlasting life, a green in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Lord's Day number 22, question and answer number 54, speak of the Holy Catholic Christian Church. With three thoughts, in the first place, the description of the Church. In the second place, the ingathering of the Church. And in the third place, the preservation of the Church. The Holy Catholic Christian Church. The description of the Church. The ingathering of the Church. And thirdly, the preservation of the Church. Beloved congregation, when we are called upon to consider the article concerning the Holy Catholic Christian Church, then a different word is used than concerning the persons of the Trinity. Then in our 12 articles, then we read, I believe in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Ghost. But now concerning the Church, then it is written, I believe a Holy Catholic Church. That is a great difference. We can believe in an object, we can see a tree, and believe that it is a tree with all its uses. But a tree cannot save us. And therefore the difference to believe in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost, that is a trusting and a taking refuge. But now the Church itself, cannot save us. Then concerning those words, then first there is made mention of the Holy Church. Is then the Church holy? Is the Church perfect? Far from it. Ask the living Church, ask the child of God, then they shall be taught that they are so black and so unholy as the bride in the Song of Solomon 1 verse 5 now declared, I am black. But then she has also declared that she was beautiful. In 1 Peter 1 verse 16, the apostle has said, I am holy, therefore be holy, speaking in the name of the Lord. Thus that Church is not holy in themselves, But then they are holy through the bridegroom, who was white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000. Then in the way of justification, and in the way of sanctification, which is only in part. Then in the second place, then she is called the Catholic Church. Then perhaps our young people think of the Roman Catholic Church. That is not the meaning. That word Catholic, that means universal, worldwide, where the John the Apostle on the island Patmos, in Revelation 7 verse 9, then he saw that multitude with those long white garments and palm branches in their hands, and that multitude was from all tongues, from all nations, from all peoples. Shall we be among them, young and old? Are we among them? Because in this evening, then it calls upon that church that has been chosen, that has been purchased by the blood of Christ, and that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. Then in the scriptures, the church has many names. In Psalm 89, the church is called the congregation of the saints. In John 10 verse 16, there Christ has said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, what a wonder it would be that in this very evening that fold may be enlarged amongst us and our children, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. In 1 Peter 2, There is spoken of a building and a temple of those lively stones. When we think of the temple of Solomon, then those hewers, they were sent to the mountains of Lebanon, and those high proud cedars, they were chopped down, and stones out of the mountains, and they were carried to Jerusalem and became part of the temple of Solomon. In John 15, then we read of a vine with branches. In the scriptures, then we read of the church of God, the church of Christ, the bride, as sons and daughters. And now concerning this king, concerning this church, then the Lord Jesus Christ is King. We have commemorated His resurrection in the past Lord's Day, and now the King sits at the right hand of the Father, and He is gathering, and He is preserving His church. Concerning the church, then in our confession of faith, composed by Gideon Debris and likely a few others, then in Article 27, then there is stressed the essence of the church, and those are believers that have been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we speak of the church, then we may speak of a church with a capital C, that is the true church, that is the people of God. But then we may also speak of a church with a smaller C, and that is the gathered church here below. And to that end, then there is spoken of a visible church and an invisible church. That visible church, that is the gathering of the congregation when they may come together in the house of God under the proclamation of the word and the administration of the sacraments. And may it be our burden and may it be our sorrow. When for 5 Sabbath days already that most of the benches are empty and that most of the families that they spend in their homes still a privilege that they may listen along. And may it not only become a burden, but may it become our guilt. And may we as a church be given to repent. Or do we think that that repentance must begin in Hollywood or in a bar or in a place of vanity? Then we may still have the word of God. And in Isaiah 30 verse 18, the Lord has said, therefore will I wait to be gracious. Then the Lord is waiting for us and our children that there may be a repentance and that there may be a crying unto him, that it may come from young and old, a crying that the time may soon come, that we may all come up to the house of the Lord. And now that visible church, too short for eternity, but a great blessing and a great privilege. Under the Old Testament, under the external administration of the covenant of grace, there displeased the Lord to work lovingly and irresistibly by His Spirit. It is true, here one and there one, that have come from outside, and that people then were given to join the congregation of Israel. And so it is also in the New Testament. It is true that external administration that has been expanded, that is where the word of God may be brought. And then what a terrible thing it is when in the providence of the Lord we have been born and raised under that external administration, and then willfully to tell the Lord that we depart from that truth. Oh, it is true. The Lord can still bring them back, but they are the exceptions. It is the normal way when we are brought up under the truth that the Lord keeps us under that truth. And at His appointed time, that the word, the means of grace, may be used to that end. Do we not read concerning Israel, the Jewish people, that the Apostle Paul has written in Romans 3, the first 2 verses, what advantage then hath a Jew, and what profit is there in circumcision? Much chiefly every way that the oracle of God were entrusted unto them. But now what do we mean by the invisible church? That is the work of grace in the heart of His chosen people. Has Christ not said to Nicodemus in John 3 when he has come in the night? He was still a night disciple. And then Christ has said, except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus was so ignorant, and he said, must I then go back in my mother's womb? And then in the 8th verse, the wind listeth where it willeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, thou knowest not whence it cometh or whither it goeth, as so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. It is such a wonderful work, such an astonishing work, such a supernatural work, wrought by the Holy Spirit in the heart of a poor sinner. Think of Mark 4, verse 28, of that seed that is placed in the earth, first the root downward. Thus it is such an inward work, but then also that blade above, and then the ear, and the full ear. Thus it is a work, it is true, invisible, and yet it cannot remain hidden, it is true. In Psalm 83 there is spoken of those hidden ones. We have mentioned Nicodemus, a nigh disciple, but when the Lord performs that wonderful and that astonishing work, oh, as a general rule, can be so many riddles, then in the beginning we do our best to hide it from our family and from our neighbors, but it cannot remain hidden because then we have set our faces inward, and then we have made that precious choice of a Ruth. Then we also speak. Of course, there is only one church, but that church consists of two parts. One part that is in heaven, that is called the church triumphant, and the other part that is still here upon the earth, and that is the church militant, because they have a warfare to fight. In the Bible, they are called soldiers. In Ephesians 6, there we read of the weapons which Christ has merited and which he giveth to his people. And that warfare, that is a heavy warfare against that triple-headed enemy, against our flesh, against the devil, and against the world. But Christ, he has gained the victory, he has defeated. Oh, the devil on the cross of Calvary, and it is true. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, there we read that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, as a lion. But Christ, he is the Lion of Judah. But now the church triumphant, oh, what shall it be for the child of God when the time comes? It is true. Ah, they have many fears. Whether they indeed belong to that church shall go through the depths. But what shall it be for the true child of God when at the end, when that deliverance shall come, and then they shall be taken into glory, and they are to be delivered from all, and to sing the praises of the Lord. What understandest thou, what believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers by his Spirit and Word out of the whole human race a church chosen to everlasting life. Our second thought, the ingathering of the church. What does that tell us, people? That tells us that we need to be gathered. And it is clear in the Bible that through our deep fallen Adam, that we are not in that church, that we are not in that fold, that we are not a timber and not a stone of that spiritual temple. Then John 15 tells us, speaks of different branches, but also branches that are laying beside the vine, and therefore they are not fruitful. the Son of God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the risen King, who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and from the heavens, then he is gathering that church, it is true. The Lord uses instruments. He uses his servants, office bearers, teachers, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, but it is through the Son of God. We think of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Then the name of that sower is not mentioned, only an instrument to sow the seed. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3, the verses 6 and 7, then he has stated, it is Paul that planteth, and Apollos that watereth. So then it is neither Paul nor Apollos, but the Lord that granteth the increase. When does the Lord now gather that church? From the beginning to the end of the world. Has begun in Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, we read the way that the Lord converts his people. And in 2020, it is still exactly the same way, although many proclaim an easier way. But in Adam was called, where art thou? He was examined, he was questioned, he became silent, he received the promise, but he was also given to behold those animals slain and skinned. They received long coats from the beginning to the end of the world. Thus that tells us, congregation, that the Son of God is still gathering a church unto himself that shall continue. I read in Psalm 72, verse 5, that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. What a special and what a blessed time it is. I read in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, that it is still the day of grace and the day of salvation. And then it is so necessary that each time we are given to pause and to consider that precious day of grace, when the Lord spares us for another year, when he grants a birthday, then how necessary, not only for older ones, even for our boys and girls, when it is their birthday, that they may be given to consider that the Lord has granted another day of grace, another year closer to eternity, and then to consider what we have done in the past year, and to consider whether as a boy or girl we have received a new heart, because that wonder must take place in the land of the living, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, when the last one is gathered in, then immediately Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven, that he gathers by spirit and by word. Thus the means of grace, and they need to be accompanied by the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And how is it now with those means? Do we separate them from the blessing? Our fathers at the Synod of Dort in the Articles Against the Remonstrants in head number 3 and 4, article number 17, and then they have written, and the more readily we perform our duty, the more eminent is this blessing of God working in us, and the more directly is his work advanced, to whom alone all the glory, both of the means and of their saving faith and efficacy, is forever. Thus let us never forget that the Lord, that he uses the means to that grace, to that end. It is true, they need to be accompanied. And then we hear the necessity of prayer. May it please the Lord to make us more a praying and a begging people with an eye upon the King, that it may please him in these solemn times, that there may yet be a rich ingathering. A Father Smitegelt, he has said in a sermon that if we want to be wet, then we must walk under the rain, and therefore the necessity of faithful using of the means of grace. Do we not read in Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18, the mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant. And now concerning the manner of that ingathering, it is true, the Lord can do all things, but we must abide by what the Lord has written in his word. The Lord, he can convert prodigal sons and daughters, no hopeless cases. Oh, there are many parents with bleeding hearts when they think of their prodigal sons and their prodigal daughters. May it become an unbearable burden, and that in that respect the Lord may do wonders. But we have to do what the Lord has commanded in his word, by spirit and by word, and therefore the necessity that we faithfully place ourselves under the word of God. To give an example, we are in the springtime, and then the farmers, they may, and they hope to go to the fields to plant the seed with a hope that they may receive a crop. The Lord, he could also send a hurricane and blow a bin of grain over and spread it over the field, and that there would be a crop. But that is not the normal way. And now concerning, the Lord works in wonderful and mysterious ways. I read in Romans 10, verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then we have many different examples of that gathering, that ingathering of his church in the word of God. Oh, of a Timothy, it is stated that from his youth he has known the scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. of Lydia, we read that the Lord has opened her heart in Acts 16, that she attended to the words spoken by the Apostle Paul. Then it can be that the Lord also brings back what we have heard in our youth, maybe from a father and mother who are no more, who are lying in the grave, can even be. Think of Luke 15, with that prodigal son, and we may say through our deep fallen Adam, of course, that boy has run away from his parents. That is an awful thing. But by nature, then, we are all prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And then he has come in the world, and he has come in great difficulties. And then he start thinking back of his father's house, even his servants, the blessings that they had. And then we read that he came to himself. And then he said, I will return to my father and say, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. The Lord sometime also uses godly examples that a people has given to see, that that is a blessed people, that are given to walk in a tender and a dependent life, whom the Lord provides so wonderfully for. Think of that little maid of Naaman. When Naaman has become leprous, then that little maid was given to tell his wife, he was only in Israel with the prophet, then surely that godly example, that obedience of that little maid, that has made an impression upon the wife of Naaman, because they have hearkened to her. Sometime the Lord uses providential afflictions. Sometime the Lord uses a death accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, that a sinner is given to realize that they must also die, and that they cannot die. We have heard on Good Friday of that centurion. Also that darkness, it is true, has also heard the word. Thus, providential matters accompanied by God's holy word in the life of that centurion were used for his conversion. Has that been our prayer, congregation? The Lord is speaking to the earth. The Lord is speaking to our nation, to our province. The Lord is speaking to his church and what the end shall be. The Lord only knows. Then surely the Lord has something special to say. Has it been our prayer? Have we tried to beg the Lord that the speaking, that it may be used in the lives of us and our children, for the conversion of sinners, but also for the welfare of the true children of God? Because we cannot remain the same. Also this calling, either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. What shall it be? What is it, congregation? It is true. Thus far the Lord has watched over us. But among our family circles, it is more and more being felt. Other times, then it pleases the Lord to bring the church into great trials. Think of a Manasseh, that wicked king, that has filled the streets of Jerusalem with the blood of God's people. And then he has come in prison. And then I read that Manasseh, that he knew that the Lord was God. Other times we read in the Bible that it is the goodness and the blessings of the Lord. For so many years we have lived, been bathed in prosperity. Go back through the history of the world. When can we find generations of us and our children that had so many years of prosperity? And where has it brought us? Do we not read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the goodness and long suffering and forbearance of the Lord, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? When we think of Enoch in Genesis 5, then we read that after he received Methuselah, that he began to walk with the Lord. Can even be out of curiosity. Of course, we do not know exactly whether the Lord, when he has begun that good work, but with Zacchaeus, he was curious and he has climbed into the tree. Other times has been the blood of the martyrs that the Lord has used when people have seen that those martyrs were willing to suffer, even to die for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there were martyrs that have sung on the stake, that it was used by the work of the Holy Spirit, that sinners were quickened, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers by a spirit and word out of the whole human race. Thus that gathering that takes place when we are upon the earth in the land of the living, young people, when do you think it is the best time to seek the Lord? Do we not read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The service of the Lord is such a good and blessed service, but 'tis possible even when we are old. We have the example of the thief on the cross. How old he was, we do not know. It was at the end of his life. On the other hand, in the Bible, one example of a deathbed conversion that tells us that we never need to despair. On the other hand, that we do not wait till the end. That the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers by a spirit and word out of the whole human race. That is that true conversion. That is that renewal. More than some emotion and some tears, as with an Orpah. More than common convictions when we read of an Esau that has sought repentance with tears. Oh, when we read in Genesis 27 that he has cried bitterly that whether there was still a blessing for him, it is more than a forsaking of some sin. I read in Mark 6, verse 20, of Herod, that he heard John the Baptist gladly preach, and that he has even done many things, but has not forsaken all, and he has murdered John the Baptist. It is more than religious joy and feeling, as with the stony ground here. It is a renewal, the wonderful work of the Lord. Reverend Hellenbrook has stated that the understanding, the affections, the will, and the walk is all changed. Let us first sing. Psalter 48, the stanzas 6, 7, and 8. For his the kingdom, his of right, he rules the nations by his might. All earth to him her homage brings, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and what follows. Psalter 48, 6, 7, and 8.
Thank you.
concerning the ingathering of the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, what precious things are declared in the chapter, the portion of God's Word, which we have read together, and namely Isaiah 43. And there it is written, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And in verse 13, I will work, and who shall let it? That is the gathered church that shall learn by the work of the Holy Spirit from whence they have been delivered, how they have been delivered, and to what end. Because we read in verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Then the instructors have stated, out of the whole human race, to that end so many missionaries have sacrificed their life, that the gospel of Jesus Christ may be brought to the ends of the world, and that the church may be gathered. And that church, it is written, a church chosen to everlasting life. And then maybe in this evening hour, undoubtedly, if we are honest, not only our boys and girls and our young people, then what a questions there can be in our heart concerning the degree of God, concerning as well, concerning our deep fallen Adam, but also concerning that doctrine of sovereign election, then there can be that voice, undoubtedly. We have all struggled with it, the unconverted, but also when the Lord begins that good work, they can be attacked. If you are not a chosen vessel, you are not elected, you can always come to church, never leave your place empty, read your Bible every day, cry, beg, and we're not going to come there. What a stumbling block that doctrine of election can be. But now another question, congregation. If the Lord had now not elected the people, then how many could and would be saved? Not one. Then we would not have to come to church. Then we all knew that our end would be in the bottom of hell. Thus, that there is an election, then there is still hope for us and our children. That doctrine of election is spoken of in so many places in the Word of God. Think of Jeremiah 18, of that potter who freely has grabbed a lump of clay and put it on that potter's wheel. A free and sovereign grace. Christ, in Matthew 11, the verses 25 and 26, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, for so it seemeth right in thy sight. Read Romans 9, Ephesians 1. The text could be multiplied, that the Lord predestination. That means he has determined from eternity that he has chosen a people to be saved and the other ones reprobates. And now concerning that doctrine, then it can lead, there are many dangers, we can misuse everything. Then we can become passive, and that we think does not really make so much difference how I live. If I'm chosen, I'm going to come there anyway. If I'm a reprobate, it does not help. But congregation, do you deal the same in your timely life? The Lord has given in his faithfulness another spring season. Do then the farmers think, sit on their chair when it's opportunity to plant? And do they say, if the Lord has decreed to give me so many bushels on that field, then I'm certainly going to receive those bushels. It's not the way the farmer thinks. Then as soon as there's opportunity, then he works the field and he plants the crop. It is true. The Lord has to grant a blessing. Thus, what a misuse there can be, that we become passive, can also be that we become discouraged. When we consider the darkness of the time and that the Lord holds his hand still, whose fault is that, congregation? Is that the Lord's fault? Thus that we become discouraged. And in the third place, that the enmity rises up in our heart against the sovereignty of God, who from eternity has chosen a people unto himself. Thus, away with that free will of the Arminians, the time of the Synod of Dort, they have believed in an election, but based upon foreseen faith that the Lord, that he knew from eternity that which people of their own will they would believe, and those he has chosen. But it is clearly declared in the Scripture that it is a sovereign election, clearly declared with a thief on the cross, a church chosen to everlasting life. We read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that the secret things belong to the Lord, and the revealed things for us and our children, that we may keep his commandments to do them. And it is written in the Word of God that we are called upon. Do we not read in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. The preservation of the church, the Lord willing. We still have a few questions in this Lord's Day. Then we can keep it for next time. The ingathering of the church. And what should now be the question? The all-important question in this evening hour, whether by the grace of God, whether we have been gathered in, whether we have become a part of the fold, when the Lord begins, then we are a little lamb that desires the sincere milk of the Word. Has that wonder now taken place? my unconverted fellow travelers, the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers by spirit and word, a church, that chosen church unto himself, that tells us that the King is still gathering a church. It tells us that there is still room in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ for us and our children. May we be given to cry mightily. We see the signs of the time. The footsteps of King Jesus are heard, that he shall soon come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. And now for the true child of God are their souls. Oh, whether that is the question, cannot deny what has taken place in your life, but there can be much which is not the true work of the Lord. What an examples we have in the Bible. Christ in Matthew 25 has spoken also, we think of it, 10, that means half, of foolish virgins with a confession and not the true work of the Lord. We have heard in the Passion Weeks of a Judas, the Lord has a people that are given to examine themselves oftentimes. 'Tis a point I know, oft that causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? On the other hand, the marks of grace declared in the Scriptures, and those true seekers, we have heard it in this morning hour, it is true. Those women, they still had much to learn. In the evening we read in Luke 24, verse 45, that their understanding was opened, that they understood the Scriptures. But all for those true seekers, search the Bible. Can you find one true seeker that has been put to shame? Ah, those true seekers, wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, they shall become finders. And now for the Church of God, they shall learn more and more the value of the word grace, that it is grace and grace alone. Do we not read in Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. The church learns what they have been delivered from, how they have been delivered, and to what end. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Amen. Let us close. Lord, thou wast given in other Lord's day, and we may acknowledge thee that we were yet permitted to proclaim thy word and to listen to thy word. May it please thee to add thy blessing, and yet so different than it has been for many years, O Lord. May we be given to turn unto thee and to cry mightily unto thee. Thou wast given that we can may commence in other week. May it please thee to grant health, strength, a courage and contentment for our family circles. Wilt thou grant strength for our labors? May we be found good stewards. Wilt thou grant that close and that dependent life Wilt thou remember man and beast, a grand opportunity to plant the crops? Wilt thou remember young and old? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou guide our thoughts? Wilt thou guide our words? And wilt thou guide our deeds? O Lord, keep us from an unexpected, and above all, from an unprepared death. May it please thee to use the callings accompanied by thy holy word, that in the latter days of the earth, amongst us and our children, that there may be a rich ingathering. Watch now over us in the night to come. May thou be the faithful keeper, Israel. May it please thee to place a fiery wall round about us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in speaking and in listening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 442, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Our gracious God has laid his firm foundations on Zion's mount, the courts of his delight, her gates of splendor bathed in heavenly light. He loves far more than Jacob's habitations, and what follows. Psalter 442, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.